You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This is The Drive Zone on Zone Radio 88.5, the voice of the valley. It's just after 12 minutes past 4. And in the studio with me are two young men. One of them's name is Ruben, and he's 21 years old and recently won a silver medal at the SA Strongest Man 2023. That was in August last year, and got a third place in the ASU Log and Deadlift Championships in Johannesburg in March this year. His younger brother, his name is Timian, and he's 17 years old, and he competed for the first time, and he set an African log press record of 90 Ks and finished a second place in the same event. These two young men are brothers and they are sitting here in the studio with me. Nice to have you guys in the Zone Radio studio.
Great to meet you, Richard. Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. Okay, so now, where do I start with you guys? So you're growing up as young men and you decide, I'm just going to pick up heavy stuff. This is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to pick it up and see if I can. Or, you know, there's my dad's car. Let's see if we can push this thing down the road or drag it down the road with a harness. And, I mean, how did this thing start for you is the question that I'm asking.
So I remember when I was a kid, I think I may have been 4 or 5, was the first time my mom took me to a strongman competition. Mm-hmm. It was up when I was living up in Joburg, and there's just these absolute monsters of human beings with giant frames carrying around, you know, pulling lorries and these giant frames with motorbikes on them and, you know, picking up big deadlifts and all that type of stuff. And I just, you know, for years and years, I didn't touch it. I was a karate guy for a long time. Mm. I competed in that. And then, I came back to the love of lifting heavy things and being strong. And that's really what strongman is. It's the sport that tests who's the strongest through different modalities, who can pick up the heaviest weights, who can press the heaviest weights over their head, pull the biggest trucks. That's what, you know, pick up the biggest stones. That's what the sport's really all about, and that's what makes it so enticing. It's an extreme thing, but it's a lot of fun.
Extreme it is. And it is – I think that Tim, you know, it's awkward. It's not like these things are just heavy. It's like they're awkward.
Yeah. Well, with the log, which is my area of expertise, it's very different from, say, just a normal barbell overhead press, because a barbell's skinny, you know. It's pretty much just about pushing it over your head. But with the log, it's a very heavy implement. It's very thick, so you can't really breathe once you've got it on your chest. So it's definitely very difficult. You're right, it is awkward. That's not just a...
Well, I mean, if I look at these guys, I watch some of the stuff on TV. They're carrying these big round, like...
Yes. You may be talking about the Atlas stones. So yeah. Everything that in strongman is designed to make life for you more difficult. And more difficult. That's the entire point. That's the fun part. We have medleys, for example, with giant sandbags or stones like you saw, where it's, let's say, in my weight class, it's between 100 and 120 kilo sandbags and stones that you pick up and you run with, and these things are sitting on your chest. You can't breathe.
Yeah.
You feel like you want to pass out, and now you have to run for time and compete against a bunch of other guys. And that's what makes it fun. It's also what makes it difficult, but that's why there's this, you know, you have to have a bit of a screw loose to really enjoy this type of sport. But it is something that's insanely challenging and very difficult, but doable. Mm. And that's what makes it really cool. Is it something you can work on and chip away at and get better at? And that to us, I think, is what it was all about, is the fact that you can kind of chip away at your progress and get better and better over time, do competitions, get better, and eventually do very well.
Okay, so you've explained to us, Ruben, how you got into it. Timmy, pardon me. Did you look at your older brother and reckon, you know what, I can do this too? You know, I'll show you. Did you always had the same passion as him?
Yeah, well, with me, I didn't have that. I never went to a competition to watch anything like that when I was young. I also got into the karate, but I didn't do it for as long. But how I got into the strongman, the whole gymming scene, was I saw my brother was doing it, and I've always been a competitive person. So I reckoned, well, if he can do it, I reckon I can do it, and let's see if I can do it better than he can. And at this point,
You're still getting on that one. Eyes rolled here next year.
I'm still working on it, but yeah, we'll hopefully not too far off.
Do you guys compete against each other? Do you motivate one another as you're training?
Well, we train together quite often, not all the time, because sometimes it can get a little bit hairy, but we train together quite often.
When you say hairy, what are we talking about? Yeah,
it's two very competitive guys lifting heavy things, and you got to one-up. You want to one-up each other, and it can get a little bit dangerous because sometimes you go a little bit too heavy and things don't go as planned. So, you know, in a sport like this, you have to be able to use your ego and really actually dial into the aggressive, egotistical part of you, because oftentimes that's where big weights get pulled from. You have to be able to use that. You don't just want to get rid of it. And when you're training and you're going heavy and you're battling it out, that happens. Now, we don't compete in the same class, which is probably for the best. He's quite a bit taller than me, as you can see. I'm 5'10". I compete in the under 80 kilo division. He's about 6'4". So right now he competes as a junior, but he's going to be in weight classes above me when he no longer does that. But that's also nice because it means we can compete when we train, but then when we're in competition, we can really have each other's backs because he's competing in his class and I'm competing in mine.
Yeah. You know what I've seen? They had a competition here just not long after Zone Radio launched in the Valley. It was behind the Long Beach Mall. The car park at the back there was turned into this. And what I found quite incredible about this is that it is competitive, but yet there's a camaraderie there. So when you're busy doing something, all the guys that are competing against you are still rooting for you somehow.
Exactly. That's the thing I love about this sport compared to other sports I've competed in is it's if you walk into a competition like that, what you'll see a lot of is the biggest, most intimidating guys you'll ever see. Massive guys, but they're all absolutely wonderful people, and the way that we do it, everybody supports everybody, and the reason why is because you can see when you see somebody like that trying to lift that stone that they've never done before, trying to pull a deadlift they've never done before, everybody gets behind them, and you can flip that competitive switch. You know, when you're competing with a guy, he might even be in your class. When the event's going, when you're on the field and it's your turn to go, you flip that switch and now you're in competition mode. But when that's done, you can be friends and you can talk about it and you can have a great time. And it's a really fantastic group of guys. It's one of the best things about it.
All right, let's go through this, Timian. There are different things. Now, you don't do the same things as your brother. You are dial this back here. So there are different events. Let's just run through those events as they are. The things that you lift, the things that you pull.
Okay, well, strongman is a difficult sport to quantify in that kind of way because the entire idea is that you don't really know what you're approaching each time. And you do run into that because at every competition, your equipment is different, your implement is different, so you can't really train 100% for things. However, there are some lifts that happen more often. And some things are standardized. Every competition will have some type of pressing event where you're pushing a weight over your head. It'll have a type of deadlift, which is, as the name would suggest, it's pulling dead weight off of the ground. And every competition has some type of moving event or a medley, which is like at the last competition we were at, which was actually 2 days ago at the Western Cape Strongest Man. We had a farmer's walk, which is where you pick up a weight in each hand and then you have to run with it. And then you do that for time. If both competitors or more than one competitor don't finish it, it's how far you can take the weight. Or you'll have a yoke, which is where you pick up a weight on your back and you walk with that. And you see how fast you can do that. So, yeah, there's the pressing events, you get your deadlifts, and then you get your moving events, your medleys.
Okay, and each time, you guys were in Oteren, was it Oteren?
Yes,
it was Oteren. 2 days ago. How did you do?
Tommy got second place, I got first place.
Well done, congratulations, well done.
Thank you.
Now, somebody in Oteren was sitting down thinking, we've got all these strong dudes coming here, how are we going to really test them? But within the confines of that deadlift, that all those categories that you mentioned. So, because I've seen guys like trying to throw a weight, a heavy weight over a crossbar.
So the way that the competitions work is generally it's five or six events, and it's a different event each time. but it's the same type of event to challenge the same type of systems. Strongman's really the sport of mostly of who has the strongest hips and the strongest shoulders. We pick things up off the floor and we press things over our heads. And sometimes we do a lot of weight for few reps or just as much weight as you can do, and sometimes it's less weight but it's as many reps as you can do in a minute.
Okay.
What the idea is with that is to find the person who's the strongest across multiple different types of events, which is why we have carries. Sometimes we have throws over a bar like you're talking about now, where it can be a beer keg that you throw over a bar, or it can be a sandbag or a kettlebell that you throw over a bar. But the idea is you want to have a good group of events that test strength across all the different dimensions that you can, and that's what a good competition is made up of.
But with enough commonality so that guys like you guys can actually go and train
And then you
those
want,
muscle groups.
Exactly, and then you want also enough difference that different people can do well at different events. So I'll give you an example. You get some really, really strong guys who are very statically strong, who are very good at pressing overhead or just picking dead weight up off the floor, but they might not be very athletic. And so when you get to moving events, like let's say it's a bunch of sandbags, you've got four sandbags, you have to load them as quickly as possible, they don't do as well because they're not their strength endurance isn't as good, or they're not in as good of cardio shape, and they don't manage to complete it quickly. That's where, for example, Tommy and I, our best events are those types of moving events. We're smaller and agile. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you want a good variety of events so that you can also allow for people who are good at the different types of events to do well.
All right. So I think we've given people a good idea of what it is that you do. And now I want to get onto something that is very, very close to your heart. And I'm going to give you as much of a platform as you need to discuss this, because in this kind of sport where people are building bodies, they're building muscle mass and that type of stuff, the temptation is to turn to steroids. You guys are absolutely anti that. In fact, you guys are called clean athletes.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Clean
yes.
athletes. And you are both anti that and outspoken about that. Now, we've got a gym down here, and the guys might not be training for you know, throwing things around and doing what you're doing, but they're still training to build muscle mass. There are a lot of young people out there who do not understand the risk that they're taking by trying to look good in the short term and putting themselves under serious medical risk in the longer term. Which one of you can, any one of you can speak to that, and in fact, both of you, but I want you to let people know what this is about.
So, using steroids went from being something that was taboo and something that people either didn't speak about or that was looked upon badly, to nowadays being something that's very spoken about, which is good in a certain way because people have an honest reference point. They're not being misleaded into thinking that something's achievable that isn't. But it's also become bad because you have especially a lot of young guys who now believe that they have to be on steroids in order to be impressive, in order to be strong, in order to look good. I have never taken anything, and I never will, purely because I will always feel like I cheated if I did. Now, I compete in a sport that is untested. There's no drug testing in strongman. The guys can take whatever they want, and I still don't take anything. Does that mean I'm at a disadvantage? Sure, it does. But in principle,
but
I
won't
take. But
yet you won on the weekend.
But yet I won on the weekend. And so here's the point. Steroids are an advantage. That will never change, and we can't lie to anybody about that. If you take steroids, it helps you. Of course it does. But the reality is that you can also be extremely strong and very well built without ever taking anything, and I'm trying to be proof of that. My big goal is to go win World's Strongest Man under 80 kilos against guys who take drugs and win, so that I can prove to especially younger guys that it's very possible to be the best at something without ever taking performance-enhancing drugs.
I love the way when you said to the younger guys, you kind of almost tilted towards your younger brother.
Yeah, he happens to be one of them. And unfortunately, with the way social media works now, younger guys are absolutely flooded with these videos of people who look absolutely insane, lifting insane amounts of weight, absolutely ludicrous stuff. And what people's idea of what's good and what's exceptional is to such a degree that a young guy really can't take really it's difficult to take pride in what you've done when you have to compare yourself constantly to all these other people on social media, right? Mm. Very difficult to do that.
You buy into that, to me?
No, I agree completely with what Ruben said. Sadly, a lot of people are being misled into taking drugs and taking steroids when they don't have to, you know, because what social media does is it gives a false standard from which to judge yourself, where a reasonably well-built guy, a strong guy, will look at something and think, hey, I'm nothing compared to this guy. Why not hop on some steroids and I can get just like that?
Mm.
And, you know, sadly, that has happened to a lot of people. And, you know, even though strongman is an untested sport, I will say one thing. At least it's an honest sport. Mm. Everyone is honest about the fact that they are on something.
Mm.
You know, it's not hidden like it is in other sports, which is one good thing.
Are you frowned upon because you're not?
No, not really.
No.
I haven't encountered, I don't think Ruben has encountered anything like
the
that.
Guys, it's one of the things I always say that I like about my sport is that it's open and honest about what happens.
Mm.
And for that reason, it's also very accepting of whatever people do, which you can look at as a good and bad. I don't care if somebody else wants to take steroids. It's a personal decision in my mind. I won't do it because I've looked at what do I want to accomplish with my life? What in my own system, am I going to be able to, if I take the drugs, am I still going to look at myself the same way?
Mm.
I made that decision. If somebody else wants to make a different decision, fine, but make an informed decision. But the problem is that in most sports, people don't, for example, know that even at the Olympic level, if you look, for example, at the top 10 fastest men in history, 9 out of 10 of them have popped for PEDs at some point in time. Mm. The only one who never popped was Usain Bolt. Mm. All the other people have popped. If you look at the Tour de France, people think Lance Armstrong was the one guy cheating in the Tour de France. No. If you take the top 5% of guys, all of them were on. Yeah. If you take at the Olympics, for example, when they test, they take an A and a B sample every time they drug test somebody. They take two blood samples. One they test immediately, one they keep for retesting when they have newer testing technology. Mm. The amount of retroactive banning that happens at the Olympics is incredible because 10 years after the fact, they retest somebody's sample and find they were on stuff. Mm. And they've actually stripped people of Olympic gold medals because they were caught 10 years after they won the Olympics with that blood sample was found to have tested positive for something. So to me, there needs to be this balance between we need to be able to talk about performance-enhancing drugs, and it shouldn't just be this taboo thing where people have the wool pulled over their eyes and they think, oh, all the people who are the best in the world are not taking anything and it's just perfectly clean. But at the same time, we need to be very careful to not make it almost too open of a discussion where, you know, it's the same analogy. If you tell a kid, listen, don't drink, don't go out and get and drink too much. It's really bad for you. But if you go out to the bar, there are lots of really attractive girls at the bar that you can potentially pick up, right? All that the young kid hears is, oh, there's lots of hot girls at the bar.
Yeah.
We need to make sure it doesn't turn into that,
and
make sure it's informed where people understand these are the consequences of taking these things, and that way we can have some balance with the approach that we take to this stuff.
It's a very insightful view from a very young man with a very level head, and I thank you for sharing that. That curtain behind there worrying you. No one's going to come out from behind that curtain, I promise you. All right, so thank you for sharing that, because I know that is something that both of you guys are passionate about. How does one, somebody listening to us, they've got young kids, first of all, what is would the entry-level age be for someone to get into this kind of sport? You couldn't really get into this too young.
Well, we have like my little brother, he competes in the junior division, and the youngest juniors we have competing there are 14 years old. And
okay.
That's how young it starts.
That be an age group when you would get into it? When did you get into it, Tim?
Well, with me, it's a bit more complicated. Mm. I was always training somewhat because my brother was around me. So the first time I really started training was 13, but consistently was at 15. Mm. And, you know, if you take someone who started competing at 14, which is the youngest we have in our junior division, He didn't start training and then immediately start competing. You know, he probably started around 13. That's a good time to start training something like this. But, you know, it's you can never be too young or too old to be active. You know, this is a very particular sport to train for. There's a difference between training and exercising.
We have people as young as 14 competing, and then we have guys in the masters weight classes who are 60 plus who are still lifting big things and pulling big trucks. It's all about if this is something that you like to do, if you've got a bit of that screw loose in your head and you think, you know what, I'd love to pull a giant truck and I'd like to pull an 8-ton truck and see how I do, and that appeals to you, you can do it. There's a class that where you can go compete and you can try and do something exceptional. Then,
all right, I'm going to come back to ask you another question now. What impact do these enhancing drugs have on health is a question that's coming on our WhatsApp. What's the downside of these enhancing drugs?
Well, there's the standard list of things, which is long-term kidney problems, long-term heart problems. There's even some science now showing that you can have long-term drops in IQ from taking performance-enhancing drugs, especially if you're on them all the time. But besides that, I think the more pressing, important one that people aren't talking about is the psychological impact that these drugs have. Not just the immediate impact that they have, a lot of them, because taking excess testosterone makes you more aggressive, more alert, all of these different factors. These drugs have a tendency to make people very neurotic, very anxious, more aggressive. But in the long term, the biggest problem I've come across with guys is once they start, they can't stop. It's like taking recreational drugs that can very easily turn into a long-term dependency, because once you've seen yourself at that next level where you are 10-20% stronger and 10-20% bigger, and then you have to go off the drugs and your natural testosterone production is down and you feel terrible and you lose all of that strength and muscle that you gained when you were on the drugs, that does something incredibly damaging to your mind, because now you can never look at yourself as a regular person again. It's always in comparison to this ideal that you've set.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of guys do the term is called, like, blasting and cruising, where they're just constantly cruising on a dose of steroids because they always have to be in peak shape. They can't stand the idea of going off and no longer being as strong as they can be. I think that's maybe the most underrated thing that nobody wants to talk about.
And that's why your approach is so good, because you're never going to have that problem.
Exactly.
You are who you are.
Exactly.
And you're satisfied with who you are. Tim is satisfied with who he is. Yep. And you're not going to worry about that.
Yeah.
All right, just coming back, we're kind of starting to run out of time. And, okay. When you training for this, so somebody wants to get into it. I've got, say, a youngster who's now 13 or 14, and he's listening to the conversation. Oh, mom or dad, I want to get into this. Do they need specialized equipment? What are you guys using? Have you got, like, your own equipment at home that you had made or built? Or?
Okay, well, for certain events like the log, you know, you need a particular, a specific log, which is basically just a cylinder with grips in the middle that you can add weight to. But that is training for a particular event. If you just want to train strength to get stronger, all you really need, or the most ideal, would just be a barbell. You know, you find that in any gym that you could possibly go to. It's just a barbell and addable weights. And that's also not even necessary for everyone, because you get calisthenics, which is body weight exercising. That's also a possibility. Ingenuity is the biggest thing. You can get as strong as you are willing to make yourself. It's about what you think of to make yourself strong. Obviously, there are some things that are more effective at growing strength or growing muscle or making you fitter. But as far as you're willing to go, that's really the most important thing.
For a long time, we didn't have any of the equipment that we have in competitions. We trained with just the basic stuff, and which is generally a barbell and plates, because with that, you can squat, you can deadlift, you can do overhead presses, which means you can get strong in pretty much every – that gives you your base. And then the equipment we use in competitions, we use to specialize. There are lots of people who compete who don't have any of the specialized equipment. All they have is a basic barbell and plates. And that's what they train with. For a long time, before my first competition, I was on Komiki Beach picking up giant rocks and putting them in the back of the bucky,
yeah,
driving them home so I could use them to practice loading stones, because I didn't have a concrete stone or a sandbag I could use. I was we have axles that we use, which is essentially just a steel pipe. I went to the hardware store. I bought one, put two, wrapped some plumbing links on it to make sure that the plates couldn't fall off. That's what I was using. You don't have to have all this equipment in order to do the sport.
The main thing, of course, the reason is because you're going to go to an event, and what you're training with is going to be, it's going to be very different when you arrive there, because it'll be a different type of apparatus that you're going to be required to use. So you can, yeah, you can only do so much in training.
Exactly. Mm. You can get about as strong as you could ever get without any of that type of equipment. And you can even go compete without it and do very well. Mm. Once you, if you go to your first competition, you don't need any of this stuff. Go have fun, enjoy the experience. If you decide then that you want to get serious at doing this and try be competitive, then you're going to have to look at, okay, I need to think about this type of equipment. This is what I might need. This is what I need to add. And then obviously you want, because you need that practice before a competition comes up. But I would say go try a competition first. You'll be surprised how good you can be just by getting strong.
Well, I'll tell you what, it is, I really admire these two young men. Long may they flourish. Well, I think they've got big plans. Now, what do you do, Tim? What do you do when you're not picking up heavy? Are you still at school? Are you studying?
Right now, I'm still at school. I'm in my last year. I'm writing my final exams in about 2 weeks.
What school is this?
It is Alma Mater in Krugersdorp. We commute between here and Johannesburg.
Okay, and you?
I work in cybersecurity.
Okay.
On top of doing this.
All right.
Out in Century City, so I drive through every day.
Cybersecurity,
yes.
That is an interesting thing. All right, so there we go, guys. I was going to say all strength to you, but you know, it's already there, so that would be like, whoa, what are you trying to say here? I like the fact that you guys are passionate about your sport. I really do get a kick out of the fact that the two brothers are, you may compete and you may, but you guys are tight. And this is going to be a lifelong thing for you guys.
100%.
Okay. 100%. And I like that. But above all else, and I like the fact that both of you are successful at this. I love it. I really do. I think it's great. But above all else, what I admire most about you is the fact that you're living your lives and setting an example, and a good example, for other young people. And that, to me, is the true win here. Yes, you need the platform of being at these tournaments and winning them so that people know who you are, that you can pass the message on. But you're passing the message on to young people that there is a clean and healthy lifestyle that doesn't involve drugs, either recreational drugs or steroids or whatever, but that there is a good, clean, healthy lifestyle and fun to be had doing what you guys do. And the fact that you've inspired your young brother the way that you have, he's rolling his eyes now. I think it's incredible. So, guys, anything else? Any last words?
I would just say to almost everybody listening to this, getting stronger, no matter what it is, getting a little bit stronger every day might just be the single best thing you do for your life. Getting stronger may be the most important thing, because getting just that little bit stronger makes everything else easier. Whether you are 14 years old and you're getting bullied in high school and you need an outlet, or you're 80 years old and it's starting to get a lot more difficult to
get up,
take care of yourself, getting that little bit stronger every single day, and I mean that quite literally, a little bit stronger every single day, lift a little bit more weight every single day. It doesn't, just a bit more every day will make such a big difference to your life.
Good advice. Timion?
Once again, on the how to start, you can start anywhere. As long as you're committed to what you want, you can get anywhere. The first year that I was training with a steel pipe and concrete blocks. So, yeah, doesn't matter what you start with as long as you make it work for you.
Guys, thank you for coming in this afternoon. Congratulations on your achievements, and keep on keeping on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.